Survivor's Guide to True Crime includes discussions of sexually based violence and is not intended for children. Information provided should not be used as a substitute for professional medical or legal advice. Please exercise discretion and self-care. Welcome back to Survivor's Guide to True Crime. I'm Kim.
And I'm Kara, putting on chapstick as we're starting, because I saw Kim put on lip gloss. And so I had to put on lip gloss.
I just feel more together. Like, I know that when I come downstairs every morning, how much effort I've put into getting ready, whether that is getting completely ready or like camera ready, is how much work I'm going to do. Or scratch that. What kind of work I'm going to do. Because if I am camera ready, I am freaking making content. We are recording. We are having meetings. If I come down looking and feeling like the troll that rolled out from under, I am editing and I am in the zone, but no one look at me or I will.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's been a lot of like case study, anecdotal information about people with ADHD. If you get fully dressed and you get ready for your day, you're a lot more productive. Or if you put on shoes.
Honey, you should mention that.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They don't match, but here they are.
I am sitting in my bed.
Right. And I do. I have to have shoes on, which is weird. Because I know that in different cultures and in a lot of places in the world, you don't wear your shoes inside.
Yeah, but you're not productive if you don't.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times. Okay, wait. Editing, I do. I do go barefoot because I sit in my weirdo cross-legged positions. But anytime I'm like going to be on a meeting where I want to take myself seriously and hope that other people do too, I'm wearing shoes.
That's so funny. Mm. So chime in. Let us know.
I know.
If you are a shoes on in your house, shoes on to be productive kind of person. I think it's a very common thing. But I know that I have seen a lot of information over the years from moms specifically who either stay at home or work from home, that if you get up and you get dressed and you get ready, you tend to be more productive and you tend to have a better day.
Yep.
I am not in a phase of life where those things happen regularly. Maybe I will be again. I look back on like videos and stuff of me working out like before I had my daughter, and I like had on mascara before I did a 9 a.m. make workout. And I was like, what was I doing? And I was like, I am not doing that now. You know, when I'm appearing on social media, I am 90% of the time going to not have makeup on. So,
but you'll get back to that.
Yeah, you know, I have mascara and all of my eyelashes are separated because last week when we recorded, I had gone to the chiropractor and all of my eyelashes were clumped together in like three little eyelashes on each eye. So
that's correct.
Have my eyebrows filled in and I have mascara. My husband was watching me put on like the little eyebrow pin
mm-hmm.
thing
mm-hmm.
and yesterday, and he was like, whoa, that is so precise. And I was like, yeah.
Gentlemen, what is it that you do that is that precise? Do you stare that closely in the mirror for that long? Because I drew on every single one of these.
Of these little hairs, yeah.
The ones that I plucked in the 2000s, I'm drawing on in the 2020s.
Yeah, he was like, I said, yeah, it's like, it's supposed to look like an individual hair. And he's like, whoa, it does.
Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Now, I don't really care about that. Observe how long my eyelashes are, please. And he's like, okay.
And this is why I will always and forever say that if you are doing makeup or getting ready in any fashion, it needs to be for you. If it is not for you,
I don't care.
They don't care.
I feel like the biggest bag of buttholes, and my husband's like, you look hot. I'm like, ew, get away from me.
Yeah, take your top off.
Like, I have milk leaking out of me. Oh, my hair is dirty. I'm like, I gotta floss my teeth. Go away.
Find you someone who loves you in all ways.
When you look like a bridge troll.
Make sure you love you in all ways. That's all that really matters here.
Right. Totally. So before we get into the heavier topics, forewarning, this is going to be a heavier episode. It is just Kim and I, but we have some like real heavy things to talk about. But I did want to, We're turning this one on around really quick. So 2 points. Hopefully you follow both of us on social media. If you don't, you may not have seen that it was my birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday, Kara.
Thank you. It's my birthday week.
It's your birthday month.
Yeah, full month. Man, but my birthday is at the beginning of the month, so I feel like...
No, Virgo season is... If you are a Virgo, you celebrate all...
The whole month. But my husband's a Virgo, and he doesn't. He could not care less.
Not a Virgo.
You're broken. I remember, like, our first birthday that we spent together. His birthday is September 15th, and mine is the 3rd. And he was like, oh, you're like a... You're a birthday person, aren't you? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, man, yes. I didn't mean anything. I didn't know that you're like a birthday person. It was a lie. He knew I was a birthday person and he did plan something.
Aw, that's precious.
He actually kept it a secret. But anyway, so it was my birthday yesterday. I had a lovely day. I posted on the Patreon about it. But for my birthday, I'm not like a pumpkin spice girly necessarily. I get one a year, basically. I get one on my birthday. Are you a pumpkin spice girly?
Oh, God, no. In all basic ways, other than the actual flavor of pumpkin spice, absolutely. But I can't do pumpkin spice lattes. I love pumpkin pie. I love the smell of pumpkin.
Next time you're in Colombia, we're going to go to Loveland, which is
Loveland.
My friends have a coffee shop. And their pumpkin spice I do like. Yesterday, so on my birthday, I always go and get a pumpkin spice. I get donuts. I ride around with my windows down. It's just like a beautiful time. And the weather literally always cooperates. I've been doing this for like 7, 8, 9 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And the weather always seems to cooperate. So it's always beautiful morning. And I usually get one from Loveland because the pumpkin spice from like Starbucks and most places, they're just really, really sweet. And they taste like Werther's candy made a pumpkin version or something to me. It's just too much. But Loveland tastes like coffee. It's like a fall coffee. Mm. It doesn't taste like sugar. Anyway, but yesterday I was like, I don't want to drive across town. We don't live near Loveland anymore. So they are just getting all the little plugs here. But I went to Starbucks instead and got a pumpkin spice cold foam. So it's their cold brew coffee and then they put pumpkin spice cold foam on top. So it's fine. I don't know. I don't really like Starbucks that much, to be honest. But anyway, so I did that and then went to the chiropractor and then I went to a Lebanese restaurant and had lunch. Ooh. Yeah, the whole family went and the boys loved it and the baby loved it. The baby's favorite thing to eat was the baba ganoush because babies love eggplant, apparently.
I could see that. I took my kids to the children's museum and they have like a kitchen thing and they learned how to make baba ganoush. I never would have gotten the littles to try that. But because they made it at the children's museum, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. There's something to it.
Yeah. So we got the appetizer sampler and it had hummus and it had baba ganoush. And I was like, oh, she'll like the hummus. She hated the hummus and she loved the baba ganoush.
All right.
Right. She was like crying when I was giving her the hummus. I was like, cool. Got it. She likes flavor because the baba ganoush was like super garlicky, but she loved it. So anyway, that was my birthday. But the other thing is I posted on Monday. I'm kind of taking a little break from social media, a hiatus for a few reasons. First of all, I feel like I'm just spending way too much time on it. Not just putting content out, but also consuming. And I am, with renewed vigor, taking over homeschool again from my husband. And I just, something had to give.
Yep.
I was like, podcast or social media or homeschool. And so obviously it was social media. And I was telling Kim before we started, I feel lighter, y'all. I don't even feel the need to check it. And I know that a lot of people feel this way, but I've never really felt this way that much where like I didn't still want to check it. I'm like, I don't want to check it. I deleted the apps, but I fully believe that had I not deleted the apps, I still could have not checked it because I'm like, I don't want anything to do with it right now. So I'll be back. I'm sure some point. Whether it's actually me or someone managing it remains to be seen. But for my mental health, that is what is right for me right now.
And to be clear, Kara is still putting out our stuff for the podcast and doing that form of social media.
And the Patreon. And
yeah, yeah. But it's getting wild.
Yeah, it's funny because I historically have not identified myself as being someone who has a lot of FOMO, but I do. I have so much FOMO. And I'm like, but if I'm not there, then I'm not going to have these brand partnerships. And like, I have all these little brand partnerships are just kind of like trickle incomes. Social media is like trickle. And I don't know if I care. I got an email from one of them. It was like, your last couple months haven't been profitable, so we're going to have to lower your brand partnership deal. And I was like, hey, I honestly don't care. So that tells you a lot about where I'm at. And you guys know, if you follow me on social media, that I've been kind of reassessing my partnerships with several brands anyway. And I'm just like, I don't want to deal with it anymore. It's so exhausting.
It is.
Maybe I'll end all my brand partnerships and just come back and just do whatever the heck I want.
I mean, that's kind of what I do right now.
Anyway, that's my life right now and what's going on.
It's your birthday present to you.
It really was. I realized that it was like sucking the joy from my life. And since I've been off of it, let me tell you something that's really, really interesting that I've realized. How often I'm like, let's say, going to go, oh, there's a small bakery. And I'm like, let me go see if they're open today. I can't check their app. It was on Monday. It's a holiday. So I was like, let me see if they're open on a holiday. Well, where are you going to go to check if they're open? You're going to go to their social media.
Yep.
Oh, well, I'm not on there. So I'm like, oh, there's that. And then I also realize how much of how I view the things that I do in my life, I view through the eye of social media.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is happening. I should document this. I should post this on my stories.
Yeah. And I'm uncomfy with that. So Meredith Steele, who is a fabulous creator, if you are on social media, definitely follow her. She had put up a video pretty recently about this app that she's kind of going through the same thing. She realized she was spending way too much time on there. And so she had downloaded this app that basically you create shortcuts in your phone so that I'm going and I'm just like clicking through Instagram or Facebook or whatever. And it makes you take a timeout, like a 10 second breather. And you can post or like you can decide how long you want it to wait. And I clicked 10 seconds and it automatically then opens this app. It's called One Sec. And I have to sit there and make sure that it's intentional because so many times I could tell I'd do something on the computer here and then I'd sit back and I'm on my phone and it's like I just poke through all of them because I can't stand notifications. And it was like daunting to me and I just get stuck in this circle. So this makes you stop. And then I have it so that, yes, you have to take the 10 second breath. And then you have to say, be honest with yourself. Why are you clicking here? Are you bored? There's one of the options is, are you on the toilet? Are you just in a waiting room? Like, And is there something else you could be doing? And so many times I'm like, nope, I didn't mean to do that. And it'll calculate how many times you've tried to attempt to open the app in the last 24 hours and how much time you've saved by clicking away from it. And it's super annoying, so annoying that it's saving me a lot of time. So thanks a lot, Meredith.
Yeah. I have even seen how my muscle memory, like when I unlock my phone, I would instantly go to the first thing I'm going to do is click on that folder where I keep all my social media apps. I don't like it. Background on me, this is not going to come as a surprise to Kim. I don't think that we've talked about this on the podcast or in real life before. This probably won't come as a surprise to many of you. I get uncomfortable whenever I feel like something is controlling me. Of course, this is, you know, me not wanting to be controlled.
No one is surprised.
No one's surprised by that. So whenever I recognize that I feel like I'm being controlled by something, I'm like, cut it out. Like, absolutely not. So there have been multiple periods in my life where I felt like I was addicted to caffeine. And I'm like, well, I'm just going to stop drinking coffee now because I will not be addicted to anything. So that's kind of where I'm feeling. This is how I'm feeling about social media. I'm like, ooh, I'm addicted to it. I immediately have to stop. It's cold turkey, no more, because I'm very intense personality, apparently. I don't know. That's what I hear.
Meanwhile, I'm like, ooh, something's
shiny.
Head first, dive in.
Okay, so anything else that you want to talk about that's lighthearted before we get into the...
I just want to enjoy breathing for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
This has been a nice reprieve, quick dissociation. And I just glanced at my other monitor and I still see the breaking news.
Yeah, we want to talk about that first. You want to go there? You want to go to the other topic? Which one?
You know,
which one first?
Let's start. All right, folks. That was real-time conversation about how we decide these things. I want to talk about something that I came across on social media and didn't send to Kara, knowing that she was off the lines. Washington Post goes through my feed, and I see it's a story on Abused by the Badge. And this is a Washington Post investigative series. And this one that pops up is about an SRO.
School resource officer.
Yes, excuse me. School resource officer who had abused a student. And you click through the carousel of images, and one popped up and I was like, ooh, this is in South Carolina. Oh, that's in Columbia, South Carolina. Oh, shit. This is Richland County. For those of you who are longtime listeners, first time callers, you may or may not know how close Richland County is to Kara.
Hopefully, you know. Yeah. So Kim sends it to me. We had kind of talked about getting ready to record, you know, oh, we're going to record in about 45 minutes. And about 20 minutes before we're set to record, she's like, hey, did you see this Washington Post article? And I'm like, no. And before she can even send it to me, I'm, you know, Googling, and I pull it up and I'm like, oh, I am very familiar.
Knowing that I sat on this for a day because I wasn't sure when we were going to record. And I'm not like, oh, let's dominate your perfect birthday morning talking about this shit. But I've been sitting on it and I'm like, I don't know why, and we can get into this after you give the rundown here, but I was like, I don't know. I'm not worried about your reaction. And at the same time, I'm like, I wonder what it will be. And I don't even know why I questioned that. However, that's why we're recording right now and going to turn around and put this out in the same day.
Yeah. So this is a school resource officer that I was a school resource officer. I actually went through most of my formative school resource officer training with this person. So he essentially utilized his position. He was in a high school. He utilized his position to assault multiple girls in the high school that he was working in. I remember when it happened, and I want to come right off the top before we even really delve into my reactions and my thoughts by saying, do not misunderstand anything I am saying as making excuses for an offender. Period. It is not up for debate that he assaulted multiple girls. That's it. Period. It is done. He committed a criminal action. I just want to make sure that my stance on those things are crystal clear. But I was reading the article. My husband also worked at Richland County and knew this person. This person was also a USC, which is University of South Carolina, which is SEC sports. If you are from the southeastern area of the United States, SEC sports like dominates. So he was a USC basketball player. So he's very well known, and he did a lot of stuff publicly for the Sheriff's Department. So he's someone that people know. Let's say that. And so Kim sends me the article. I'm eating lunch and I'm talking to my husband about it. And I was like, man, I remember when I heard this, because I went, no, I like him. Like I like him as a person. No, why? Why did he have to do this? And I think that that should give a lot of us a lot of insight into what families, friends of offenders, their reactions are. Because while I never doubted the authenticity of the allegations made by the students, which are no longer allegations, while I never doubted those while they were still allegations, it was really hard for me to process because I knew him. I knew him well. And what I was explaining to Kim is when we were in training, he would be the guy. Now, when I first met him, I was not much older than the girls that he would later abuse. Talking 4 years older than them. And so when I worked with him, he would be the person that I would be like, oh, let's hang out. Like, I felt safe with him. I knew that I would have fun. And I never felt like he made advances towards me, which when you are a woman in a male-dominated profession, those are three things that are very valuable. So it was uncomfy for me to hear all of this going down. And it did not align with the person that I knew him to be. And it was upsetting to me to hear these things. And now he has officially been sentenced and he got probation.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
You didn't.
How long ago did you hear about this? You're talking about
when the allegations originally came out. So I'd have to look at the year for when it actually happened, because it was pretty quick. I think it must have been first report was 2010, but he wasn't arrested until 19. So I probably heard about it in 2018.
Okay, so this has been...
So I had a 4 and a 10. I had a 4 and a 2-year-old at the time. So okay. I was very much out of that world and not really back into the advocacy world at the time. I was in the trenches of little kid motherhood, and that was when my husband was out of the country a lot. So I don't know that I really processed much of it then, but 2010... Hold the freaking phone, because I think I just may have had a first report of inappropriate behavior was made in 2010. I was still working there as a school. I had just left as a school resource officer. I was a school resource officer then. I was working with him when this was happening, actually, because that was before. That was the exact time that I was working with him. I was transitioning out of that not long after that.
So he's actively grooming and assaulting young women at the same time that you were his coworker in the same position.
Yeah. And
did you?
Absolutely not. And if somebody would have told me then, I would have been like, you're lying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I knew him, I thought, but this goes to show how people who are predators, people who harm other people, can fly under the radar. Because very often you hear, well, that's not who I know, or I'm very surprised by that. But I think there's a level very often for these people of compartmentalization. I am taking a wild guess at this person because he is married. He has 2 young children. And I would venture a guess that he does not see himself as a predator. And he especially doesn't see himself as the type of predator that he would be uncomfortable having his children around.
Yes. And we wrote this down in our shared note ahead of time when we were talking about this, because I asked Kara, I'm like, this is important, and I don't want to pull punches, which I'm very glad we're on the same page here. Like, I don't know why in my mind I was thinking this was new information and you're going to be actively processing this at the same time. But I did want to point that out because I think around like the civil side of things, even though my world was the criminal justice side, I think about the civil side where character witness statements are still a freaking thing.
Yeah.
And if he had come to you at that time and been like, hey, I need a character statement. Do you think twice? Like, okay, this is what I know about this person. And that's why they're such bullshit. And yeah. not even if you're submitting them in a court atmosphere. If you are talking to people, I want you to just think about in your life, someone who has been accused of a crime like this. If you were to ask their close friends, family, coworkers, the people that they didn't abuse, what are they going to say? It's probably fine. They're good at covering their tracks. They are good. That is why predators seek out so many other people that can vouch for them while grooming someone else who, in this case, is a person of color, is someone who is looking at them as an authority figure, who does not have the ability to counteract that power imbalance. This is someone who is 100% his for the taking to be a victim, and she can't get out of that scenario. And I'm just talking about the one girl that they actually interviewed that was for this Washington Post article. That's the story that's followed. We are going to link this in our comment section. You do not have to have a subscription to read it, so you can go through and read all of it for yourself. But as I'm looking through this, I'm like, yeah, he's got a wonderful wife who will cover for him, because so often these predators who look...
Well, ooh, I know her. And when all this came out...
Yes.
She 100% did not cover for him. She left his ass.
Oh.
Her and the kids. She was like, she very much left him for a very long time. But I guess he has, in some way, shape, or form, made amends something to her. I don't know. I don't know the status of their relationship. And I don't know. I mean, she still said wife, so on the article. But I know that when it happened, she was not with him for some period of time.
And you look for all these things in place that make them the picture of perfection when it comes to family, job, career, friends, social aspects. Because if he's got all those things and can have a wife and kids and this really powerful position, how could that possibly happen? How could this be so out of line with everything else that we know about him?
Mm-hmm.
They do that on purpose. That is exactly why they do these things. And they have deluded themselves into thinking that they are not the same type of predator. Mm-hmm. They just go about it in a different way.
I think very often when we are talking about this type of assault, where it is a grown man and an almost able to consent legally female or male. Now, let me be clear that the law for age of consent is different state to state in the United States. So if you are a listener abroad, I just want to make sure that you know how we're approaching this. So it's different state to state. And so I think very often whenever we are dealing with someone who is above the age of consent and someone that is closing in on the age of consent, the person who is the offender can view these relationships as, but she consented.
I'm not a real pedophile.
I'm not a real pedophile, because have you seen girls in high school these days?
Right. I do want to point out that just because the age of consent may vary state to state, position of power is still something that is very much in place, especially when you have a school resource officer, anyone that is working within the school systems, religious organizations, sports, anything where there is an imbalance of power.
Yeah, that becomes a form of coercion.
Correct.
Yes. So I just wanted to address that, because I think that that very often can be how people make excuses in their own head. That's not a valid excuse, but that's how I think they see it. Now, we do also want to circle back to another issue with this, which is how it was handled, because the initial complaints came in and this person maintained their job. I never heard about it during that time, because it knocked me off the sofa when I heard about it. And this is after multiple complaints. So it was obviously in some way, shape, or form kept hush hush.
Can I go off script for a little bit?
Sure.
As
it's no script.
That's fair. We did not talk about this ahead of time, and I don't know if we have or not, but as someone who was in law enforcement, whose husband was in law enforcement, grew up, is very much involved in this community, What is your thought process on IAs? What are your feelings surrounding internal affairs investigations within law enforcement communities?
I think it probably varies vastly from agency to agency and how it's handled. I will speak to my experience with the agency I worked in, and I will tell you the people when I was working there that were in IA, I would, if I did something wrong, I wouldn't want them investigating me because they'd light my ass up. I also know that the sheriff that I worked under held a lot of people's asses over the fire. I remember specifically there were two deputies and both of them were married and they were having an affair and he's like, you're both fired. But there are also other cases where some of his favorite people don't get handled as the same. So it's tricky, right? But I also know that for Richland County, whenever something like this comes up, they like refer it out. Richland County didn't investigate this. They would have referred it to SLED, which is our South Carolina Law Enforcement Division. So that's how it's handled here. And I feel like that's a fairly good process. Sometimes Highway Patrol will investigate stuff, but I can't say that I have only one opinion about it. It depends is my answer, which is very often my answer.
And so this is, for those who are not in criminal justice, this somewhat varies and is very closely tied to like what military does as well. What about public access to those records? Oh. Because you talk about personnel records with employment status for, you know, just a civilian. Most people are not going to have access to that. However, these people that are running a register at your local grocery store also aren't tasked with public safety and legal enforcement.
Yeah. So I think that I'm always going to view this through, you're not going to be surprised by my answer. I'm going to view this through the same lens that I would view someone accusing my children of something. So knowing this is another thing that we talked about before we started recording, when we talked a little bit about, because Kim's like, do you want to touch this? And I was like, well, let me tell you my thoughts. So I worked in this agency. Obviously, I know the prosecutors that they would have talked to about this, about prosecuting this then, were the same prosecutors I was working with. So I can say unequivocally, I know the prosecutors that they would have talked to. And I have talked multiple times on this podcast about how I worked cases where I could not take it to court and prove that something happened, period. But that doesn't mean that something didn't happen. When all of this came out and the charges were coming about, Richland County also had just come off of another national news story with a school resource officer, which was an excessive use of force, which was another person who I was like, I know him. And I don't know if I don't know about this one. That one was not really black or white. So I view all of the reactions of law enforcement, knowing all of that context of how the solicitor handles these things, how these types of cases are investigated, because very often, while our law here in South Carolina states that you do not have to have evidence beyond the word of the victim to convict for a sexual assault, that is simply not the case. Like, no jury is going to convict on she said versus he said. They want evidence. So I could foresee that knowing all of those parts, it does not surprise me that criminal charges were not filed sooner. I think the corroboration, unfortunately, is what tipped the scales. Because I will view your question about IA, should these things be made public, the same way that I would view this from an investigative standpoint, which is, do we have enough to prove this is true? I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like that this is the way it's handled. Like, are we going to ruin a man's career over an allegation? Like, I don't like that.
I don't either. And then at the same time, the burden of proof is different.
Yeah. And, but I also, like, I view it like if it was my son, I would want there to be some proof before he's put in jail, right? It is like, these are really complex issues. There are no right or wrong answers. I wish that it was simpler.
Well, and that's why I ask too, because these aren't the conversations you're probably going to hear when you open up social media, because someone who is screaming that loudly about it is going to have a very firm stance one way or the other, whereas we may not know. And I will, in full disclosure, tell you, I have been on both sides of this, where, oh my God, no, I don't think the contents of this IA should be released to the public. And then with time realizing, shit, yes, they should be available.
Yeah.
For good reason, but we did not have that foresight at the time. And that's not going to change what those rules are and what those laws are, frankly, in Colorado. I just wonder about, the more we talk about transparency with any kind of law enforcement, there's always going to be questions about different types of immunity when you are placed in these positions. And what should the public have access to? What will help protect us from the people who are supposed to be protecting us?
I think it's just complicated so much by everything we've seen in the last few years with law enforcement not doing the right thing. It's just so much further complicated it. It's not black and white. And I come back to time and time again, the fact that, you know, when we were in 2020, when we were having all of these people protesting and having so many strong reactions and responses to law enforcement, I was like, yeah, there's bad people in all careers. Now, I think that law enforcement probably does attract a little bit higher percentage of people that want to control other people. Because if you think of the type of person, law enforcement is not a job you get into because you want to be rich and famous. Like, you're never going to get paid well. You get into it because maybe you get into it because you want to help people. That's great. But I had an instructor at the academy who was like, yeah, I remember, you know, we ask everyone, why do you want to be in law enforcement? And one person just said, I just want to shoot guns and drive fast. Like,
thanks for your honesty.
Yeah. I mean, like, that sometimes that's why people get into it, because they like that stuff. And right. I mean, it was fun. I'm not going to lie. That was like my favorite part. But you know, the people that are going to be interested in law enforcement, very often, if you got a Venn diagram, there's going to be a higher amount of that middle section.
The circles are closer together here, folks.
The circles are closer together when you're talking about abusers and people in law enforcement. I feel like,
yeah. Right? Co-host?
We already said that, you know, she's going to be our next co-host. She's awake, and my husband is not here, so she's sitting next to me. She'll probably be mostly quiet, but I am very much processing, and I'm open to more information, as always.
Yeah.
But it's complex, and I think it is interesting to hear from people like ourselves who are survivors of sexual assault that also worked in law enforcement, because that's a different perspective than I think most of society will have.
Yeah. Some of our very best friends are actively in law enforcement. Some of the people who have changed the entire trajectory of my life came from law enforcement. And also, in an interrogation about my rape, my rapist is saying to the detective that he's getting into criminal justice because he wants to help victims. So take with that information what you want. It's going to attract all kinds of people. And power concentrated is power abused. So I am a big proponent of those checks and balances. And the more research we can do on these populations, and accountability is great, but it is not an easy black and white conversation. My heart just was crushed reading this article too, for not only this victim who was brave enough to share her story, but the multiple other victims that were then victimized because she was not believed in the first place. Her account, her bravery coming forward, she wasn't believed. And my heart just goes out to her entire family. That, your whole community that has had to suffer at the hands of one predator. Just this one is creating such a wave. Think of how many others are out there.
Yeah, it's messy. And unfortunately, very often what you see in many of these types of scenarios is that you don't find out that someone, the cause is the experiment. Do you know what I mean when I say that? It's like these people that maybe wouldn't have been a predator get put into this position of power, and then it becomes like the thing that tips the scale. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, when you describe it that way.
It's like the experiment is almost the cause. It's like, it's nature versus nurture, right? Like, right, the gun has been loaded, and then they get put in a position that, like, pulls the hammer, and then they decide to pull the trigger. I never want to take away the choice. Like, right. At the end of the day, the person that commits the assault decided to pull the trigger. However, I think that sometimes we can get put in positions that makes it easier.
Yes.
For us to make that choice. Good, bad, whatever. I think that can happen from a positive perspective as well.
Now, I will say this one especially is just really weighing heavy on me. And not to dilute the importance of what we wanted our next topic to be, but just in the scheme of time and the fact that this is an active and ongoing investigation and situation, we were made aware of a school shooting that just occurred in Georgia, where there are multiple.
Reading the updates,
I know I'm trying to not
temper yourself.
Yeah, just while we get through this, especially with someone who has children right now in high school who grew up right by Columbine.
Yeah, we said it was going to be heavy today, guys.
I don't have the words. I don't have anything great to offer other than I'm going to be hugging my kids extra tight tonight, and not everybody gets to do that. So that's as much as I can do right now.
I'll update for anyone who maybe is not a consumer of the news, although I'm sure you will have heard about it. At the time that we were getting ready to record, Kim also texted me and said, I know you don't watch the news, but turn it on. And so there is everything's still developing right now. There has been a school shooting in Georgia, and at least 4 people have lost their lives and multiple other people. The last count I saw was over 30 people who have been injured in some way, shape, or form. And everything is very much still developing. The name of the shooter has not been released. Even if it were, we would not be talking about that because we are for victims, by victims, about victims, survivors.
And one of the things that I'm a big fan of, and I will link this, I learned from a fellow TED talker named Connie Sanders, but she turned me on to a program called No Notoriety. So you do not talk about the offenders at all, especially since he's in custody. It is not an active threat to the public as far as we can tell right now, for which he would need to have identification disseminated. I don't want to jump to any conclusions. I don't want to have to backtrack on anything. I'm not going to falsify information or opine on something that I just don't know. It all of this is just really, really heavy, but we won't be granting any notoriety to that mass murderer.
But we did want to approach this because we were talking about the school resource officer already, and that having been something that also is very close to me because I was a school resource officer. I also, because of all of the school shootings that our country has experienced, as a school resource officer, I was trained in active shooter response. So that our agency brought in a national training advisory group that came in, put on a week-long training for how to respond to active shooter situations. And so this is something that every time it comes up, I always strive to not judge the responses of law enforcement or anyone else in these situations, but I do have a different perspective and a different outlook. And I will tell you, it is, when we talk about these things, one of the statements that was drilled into us during our trainings, it's very difficult to run towards the sound of gunfire, which is, as law enforcement, that is what they were training us to do, run towards the sound of gunfire. And so I look at these things through the perspective of, most high schools have one or two school resource officers. So I would assume that, you know, there was one assigned there at least. Whether or not they were on campus, there's any number of reasons why they could be called away for work. But, you know, we would be remiss if we did not address that, since it is happening as we speak. And since we were already talking about school resource officers and schools, and it's our hearts are with all of the families of everyone who was involved, and just praying extra hard for healing for everyone. And like Kim said, hugging our babies a little bit more.
I wish I had a
good way to end things.
I know. I wish I had more of a positive note to end on, but.
No, I mean, it's real, right? Like, I think don't fall into the trap of it has to have a positive ending. Not everything has a happy ending, unfortunately. And hard things happen. And that's, you know, we don't need to filter things through the lens of, but what's the positive spin on? There's no, when you have children getting shot where they should be safe, there's no silver lining. There's no, at least, it's awful. It's awful. And we wanted to address it because we don't shy away from hard topics. The thing that Kim and I said before we started recording is, the biggest takeaway that I see from this is, can we just have more accessible healthcare, like mental health care? Can we just make it a little bit easier for people who have mental disorders, who have mental turmoil? Because people who are mentally well don't make decisions like this. So can we just make it a little bit easier for people to get some assistance?
Mental health care should not be a luxury.
Right.
All right, folks. Well, we will be back next week. This was supposed to be a short episode and it was not.
Yeah, no. Well, with a guest who covers a heavy topic, but does it lightheartedly.
She's our people. You will see exactly what we mean.
I just love her.
Adore. Instant friendship. Just, I'm so excited for you all to meet her and hear her story, because it's another one that off the bat made me uncomfy. And I'm so glad I sat through that conversation and learned, because I will never get tired of learning.
I wish that more people felt the same.
Yes.
I think all of you feel the same. So thanks for being here, being willing to wade through all of the different versions and sides of all these things, to recognize that all of these situations are not black or white, and always being willing to listen and learn and take on new opinions. And I think we're better for it.
As per usual, we would love to continue this conversation. If you have your own opinions about this, interact with us on Patreon. That's definitely where we love to keep these conversations going. And we can't wait to see you next week.
And social media, you can interact with us there. We are checking our social media for the podcast. Even though I said I'm not online, I am checking that one and I am posting there. So if you have feedback, comments, concerns, any thoughts, anything like that, just reach out. Let us know. She's going to keep her shoes on. Mm-hmm. And she's going to enter goblin mode and get to editing. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Survivor's Guide to True Crime is hosted and executive produced by Kimberly Corbin Rourke and Kara Robinson Chamberlain.
If you love what we do here, please don't forget to follow, rate, and review the show in your podcast player. It's an easy and free way to help us and help more people find the show.
To learn more about the guests featured or to find resources and information discussed on the show, visit survivorsguidetotruecrime.com.
Thanks for listening.
Well, see you later.
Do I have to cut my fucking thumbs off?